And the epistle, this particular epistle in Romans, is part of a series when Terry and I lived out at the rehab center in Hungerford, Texas. That was a very unique rehab center. We were able to take whole families in because if mom and dad are strung out on, you know, cocaine or whatever, the kids have their own set of problems that they're dealing with. And so anyhow, this was a very unique rehab center. It's still out there. We still get out there and say hi to our friends out there from time to time. And when I was out there, I was actually teaching in the little college that we had out there. And this passage of scripture was part of what the students had to memorize in their rehabilitation program. And the reason for it is there are so many wonderful promises. If you're going to successfully make it as a believer, if you are successfully going to get through this Christian walk, then you need the promises that are here in God's Word. Amen? And so we're just going to go over them for a little bit because I just wanted to look at something special. But it starts out, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we ought. And the first time I saw that, and I was about, 12 years old, I'm saying, what do you mean we don't know how to pray as we ought? We need something, we pray for. Okay? But it's true. We don't know what God is doing. We might be experiencing just a little bit of what He's doing over a great big area with a great big bunch of people that might be affecting us, this little bit here. And so that's the part that we zero in on. Oh, God, take this away. You know, this hurts. This is uncomfortable. We don't want to go through this. And so take it away, not understanding that God is doing something bigger than each of us individually. Amen? He is accomplishing the church on this earth. And we all play a part in that. But we don't know how to pray as we ought, because we just pray according to how our physical body has been touched. You know, whether it's us that are in pain, or we see our loved ones in pain, or our friends, or however it may be, you know, we're reaching out there. But to really pray in the will of the Lord is something that is impossible to do outside of the Holy Spirit of God. Says our spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Amen? And so as we're doing our best to pour our heart out to God in whatever we find ourselves, you know, immersed in for the hot water that we're immersed in for the moment, at the same time, the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us with groanings that can't even be interpreted by words. He's just, the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, is standing before the throne of God, interceding for us. Amen? I don't know why the Holy Spirit gets such a bad reputation or whatever. Oh, he's kind of like that power, or he's kind of like this, or he was here, or he did that, or whatever. Yeah, just like Jesus was our intercessor, he sent another intercessor, the Holy Spirit of God, that makes groanings for us before the throne of God in words that can't even be uttered. And so when you are so down that you're saying, Lord, I don't even know how to pray, you know, he's saying, that's okay, you get it wrong a lot of times anyhow. So. You try praying yourself out of the situation I especially put you into to learn a special lesson. but you know, so that, does that mean we don't pray? No, because God wants us to be part of what He's doing. Amen? And so, yes, we do pray, but know that even while we are pouring our hearts out to God, that's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, the Paraclete, one who was called to walk alongside of us. Amen? And Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God searches the heart, knowing what is it the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Okay, there's a slight little phrase in here, according to the will of God, that really changes everything up, because God knows that we're going to be praying through our weakness. Right? That's usually what we're doing. Amy said, God, you've got to do something. You know, at wit's end, what to do about Amy. And so you're just praying, but we're praying in our weakness. We don't know what else to do. Amy needs a healing. But over here it says the God knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So even if we get our prayers a little wrong, don't worry about that, because the Spirit of God is up there praying exactly according to God's will. It would be nice if we could wake up on the every morning, and there on our bedside table is a little sticky note, that's how you say sticky note by him. A little sticky note from God saying, this is what we got on tap for today. Wouldn't that be handy? You know, 11 o'clock, be prepared for this. 3 o'clock, this is going to happen. All right? Boy, that would be great. But he doesn't do that. All right? But he is going to perform his perfect will. And so that's where God is allowing us to pray, because that's what's going on between the headship of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. There's prayer going on there. Jesus said, I only do what I know my Father is doing, what I see my Father doing. There's this interaction that's going on there. And God is saying, and now you can be part of that too. And so you can pray. Now, we won't have the mind of God to know exactly what He's doing, but the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen? And so when you're pouring your heart out to God, you just need to know that so is the Holy Spirit. So is Jesus, making intercession for the saints. Amen? And then, as a conclusion of that, in verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Amen? How many here are called according to His purpose? Da-da-da-da! There we go. All right. And so, He works all things together for good for all those that are called according to His purpose. All things. Now, that doesn't mean that He makes everything good. Don't read that in there. It says that He works all things for good. All right? So perhaps something happens. Perhaps you lose something physical, maybe your health or whatever, and you're going through this deep, deep time with God, and perhaps our prayers aren't answered exactly the way that we wanted them to be, but when we look back on it later, we see the greater things that God has done as He's answered our prayers, and the greater lessons that we've learned. You know, I've learned a lot more in my Christian life when God says no than when He says yes. Okay? Because when He says yes, it's, yeah, I jump up and down, I just go ahead and waste it on whatever, you know. Alright, but when He says no, it's, well, wait a second. How come this is happening? How come this is, I didn't pray that way. Did you not hear my prayer? And the answer is, yeah, I did. No, I won't. All right. So listen to this. So we know that all things work together for good to those who love God or are called according to His purpose. For, and this explains this, that all things working together for good. For those He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that means while He was still putting creation together, we weren't created yet, but He was in the process of, yes, there's going to be a church fellowship up here. I mean, the world didn't exist yet, but He knew that up here on the third floor, a fellowship would exist. And those that are here today would be here today. And so He said, for those whom He foreknew, He predestined to conform to the image of His Son. Did you know that you are a destined generation? We are a destined people. God says, I have predestined you to the image of my Son. Does that mean that we all run out this week and buy a nice, clean, a nice set of bed sheets and go ahead and wrap ourselves up in the bed sheet and some sandals and we'll walk around and try to look like Jesus? Is that what it means to be conformed to the image of His Son? No, it means to be conformed to what the rest of the world saw when they saw Jesus walking. To see the love of God exemplified. To see the power of God in Jesus' doctrine. People need to see these things. They're tired. The world's tired of hearing, I'm okay, you're okay, we'll be okay, and let's just be okay together. No, we're tired of that. We need to know that there is something better. We need to know that God is alive in our lives. That He is in the process of conforming us. That's the word that's used when a potter works a piece of clay. When He's conforming us to the image of His Son. Not just the outward image, but everything that you saw when you saw Jesus. Amen? So that you might be the firstborn of a large family. I have told you this a dozen times from this pulpit. God has always, from the moment of creation, been about having a family. That's all He's ever wanted, is a family. So He creates that. Well, first He creates the angels. That didn't work very well. Well, at least two-thirds stayed, but one-third, revolted. Then Adam and Eve. And they chose each other over God. That wasn't exactly what He had planned. So I'll go ahead and I'll call Abraham and Moses, and I'll call out Jacob, who would become the nation of Israel. And their tribes together, they will live for Me and they will honor Me. And all that they do. And that didn't work. He sent His Son to put them back on the right path, and you saw what they did to Jesus. Okay? So, what is He trying now? Now He's doing the church. Amen? And so, Jesus simply wants, God is simply looking to be, have a family. He is the quintessential Father who loves and provides for His children. That's all He wants to do. We keep messing it up. Amen? And then He goes back, Paul cuts back a little bit and says, and those whom He predestined, He called. He put a calling on their life. It's a mark on the forehead. You just aren't out there on your own anymore. I have a calling on you that nobody else in the world may see it, but the devil's going to see it. And I've got a calling where you're going to do something in your life. And who's he called, he also justified. All right, now what is he doing? We see the progress going on here. First of all, he's saving us from ourselves. He has justified us, just as if I'd never sinned. When Jesus justified us, he made us just as if we never sinned. And that is so important because we all in this room go through times where we berate ourselves for how badly we fail God. And Jesus is saying, you've already been forgiven. But we just keep on thinking about, well, I failed him here and I failed him there, and how can he trust me to help him, you know, do something or live for him or whatever. But whom he called, he justified. You don't worry about that. That's water under the bridge. Amen? Your sins are water under the bridge. There's nothing you can do about that. Jesus already bore them on his body. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Not quite yet, but we're going to have those same bodies that Jesus had one day, a glorified body. Amen? The same Jesus, the angels told the disciples, he's coming back, the same Jesus, that you, just like you saw him go, he's coming back. Amen? And he's going to, so don't worry about the aches and the pains, boys and girls. Like the rest of life, it came to pass. The things in our lives come and they pass on. Amen? And so we have a promise in our future. A glorified body that's not tempted by sin, praise God. A glorified body that is not controlled by self, praise God. Amen. Just a body just like Jesus that is there to love and to share and to let their light shine. Amen. He's going to glorify. So then Paul, and this is where I'm going to cut off today, because it's kind of like where he cut off. What are we to say about these things? What more can we say about these things? If God is for us, amen, who is against us? Oh, I'm sure that some little moron up and down the hallway might pop his ugly head and try to give us a bad day. Amen? But that's simply because he doesn't know that God is for us. All right? Yeah, we're going to have to deal... We're always going to have to deal with ignorance. And that's just how life is. But knowing that our God is for us. And then this person decides to raise their self up against us for whatever. Against you, you know, making fun of you in the hallway or giving you grief in the clubhouse or whatever is going on. And you're just going to shake your head and say, you poor soul, God is for me. You would set yourself against me when my Father is for me. That should give us a pity for these people. You need to know the same God that I know, because if you know the same God that I know, you wouldn't go through your life trying to belittle everybody else, trying to make yourself feel better. Amen? And unfortunately, that's your life from sandbox to gravestone. You know, once you get out there on the playground, it's going to be a matter of who's king of the hill, but not necessarily for believers, because we have the same Father. And we can sit back and say, I know what God has planned for my life. I don't know what kind of ups and downs I'm going to go through before I get there, but I do know that who he justified, he has glorified. And that's what we have waiting for us. So anyhow, maybe this is just a message that is preached out of a lot of pain and anguish that I've gone through this week. Or maybe it's just the fact that, you know what? We're all going to go through difficult times. But when we do, to know, we need to know that our God is in control. Has been in control since before the foundations of the world. Amen? Father God, thank you so much.